Well, welcome to Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're glad that you're with us on what we call this Palm Sunday. I've got a question I want to ask you. The question is, who is this? Well, with the context being the fact that I'm standing up here, and some of you are aware that we were going to be having a child, not a child, a grandchild. Take that back. Sorry, Melinda. Yeah. Ooh, scared her. Scared me, too. Those of you who are aware of were aware that, oh, this is probably his grandson. And if Jim can come up and flout his grandchildren, and Shane and Jake can show their kids' pictures up here, I can do the same, and I'm going to do it. If you had just seen this and I wasn't up here, now you might have seen, you know, they post things on Facebook all the time, and some of you have probably seen more pictures of my grandson than I have. But this next picture would give you a little bit more of a context clue of who this is. Yeah, that's my favorite. Oh, there's a baby in there with me too. Yeah, I was like, yeah. He's just a few days old there. He's already acting like a teenager. I'm trying to tell him something, and he's just turning away. Yeah, he just... You know that Melinda and I were having this grandchild. There's another little bit of context of who this child is, too. Some of you are aware that on this next picture, that's Mark Schaefer. Usually, sometimes he's back here ushering in as you come in the door. Well, Mark and Lori and Melinda and I share. This is both our second grandchild, first grandson, and we share him. I don't know how much I like this picture. I kind of like it, but it's a reminder that Ellis Ray is the little boy's name, named after me, by the way, the middle name part. But he sat there on his lap for about an hour and a half, content, just enjoying that. And then Mark had to get up and do something else, and so he hands him to me, and he starts crying. That is, I'm like, that's how it works. That's right. Well, there's another picture that I didn't show you, but I have a picture that was a few days after this. Is my number one grandchild was holding my number two grandchild. They're 14 years apart. And one of the ways I know that is that, you know, grandchild number one is now a month old, but today, number one grandchild is sitting right here, and it's her 14th birthday. So, welcome. Yeah. And she got all her height from me, and how I know it is because she's the same height I am. Yeah, so. Who is this? That is the question I want us to ask today, because as we're looking at this section from Palm Sunday, when we go into the scripture, and I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 21. Sawyer read the triumphal entry from Luke's perspective. I'm going to do it from Matthew because there's a few things I want to highlight out of this particular passage. So if you want to read and follow along with me, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, so if it sounds a little bit different, that's why. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. And he said to them, "Go into the village that's opposite from where you are, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and its colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. Now, if anybody says anything to you, then say, 'The Lord has need of him,' and immediately they will send him." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Quote, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey.'" Now, the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he'd entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, and they were saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Who is this? Can you imagine if you were in that crowd that day, if you were not aware of who Jesus was already? And remember, he's going into Jerusalem, and it's been a while since he's been there. There's also a lot of people traveling from other places on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, that they would often come from the variety of different places, way away, traveling for this big festival feast of theirs. And all of a sudden, somebody's garnering the attention of the crowd. The crowd is being attracted to something over there, because now there's people following this guy that's riding this donkey, a little one. And they're wondering, what in the world is going on? Who is this? What kind of person actually attracts this kind of attention? Is he royalty? Is it a king? Who is this? Well, today, I want us to address the answer to that question the way I think the Bible addresses it, and more specifically, probably Matthew, since that's where we will be. But there's another aspect of that question: who is this? And it's a question that you and I all have to answer, because how we answer that question goes a long way in determining the outcome of our eternal destiny. So, how do we answer this? Who is this? Well, first, he's prophet. I'm answering it the way they did when it was first asked. Verse 10 asked the question, who is this? Verse 11, the answer was, this is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee. The people were aware that somehow this man Jesus was different. He came speaking on behalf of God things that were amazing in their minds. And one time they said, man, he teaches as one who's got authority. And they saw a lot of the miraculous things that he did. He has to be a prophet. He's got to be somebody sent from God. His encounter with the woman at the well, I perceive you're a prophet. He's asking his disciples, hey, who do people say that I am? Well, some people say that you're Jeremiah, that's one of the prophets, or Elijah, or one of the other prophets who've come back from the dead. They all perceive him as a prophet. One of the reasons why the Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests, the elders, they didn't go ahead and grab Jesus when they wanted to is because they feared the people, because the people assumed he was a prophet. What does a prophet do? A prophet was one who spoke on behalf of God, who spoke what God wanted them to say to this particular person, to this particular people or nation. Jesus came speaking the words of God. Peter, in his message to the crowd in Acts chapter 3, points out that Jesus was this prophet who was to come that was prophesied way back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when God told Moses this, that I'm going to raise up a prophet like you. There's going to be a prophet like you who will come later. You need to listen to him and do the things that he says. And Peter speaking through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, reminds us that Jesus is that one that came, the prophet like Moses. If a prophet speaks the words of God, of which Jesus claimed to be and do, he says the Son only speaks what the Father tells him, and that's what he then speaks to us, we would do well to listen to him. Many people today are always looking for a word from God. We want to hear something from God. It had been 400 years before Jesus came on the scene where there had not been a word from God from a prophet. Book of Malachi, the last book in the New Testament, was about 400 years prior to Jesus. And that's the last time we have recorded somebody, one of the prophets, coming from God until Jesus comes on the scene. So if Jesus is prophet, question for us is, are we listening to him? Secondly, Jesus is king. As king, he entered into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey. Now, if I was going to be king and I was wanting to ride into town and proclaim my royalty, I think I would be going in on something a little bit more magnificent. I would want like a stallion or, you know, a big old white horse or a Clydesdale. Well, I couldn't get on top of a Clydesdale. They're too big. But I would want something more than just a little tiny donkey. Jesus came riding into Jerusalem in such a way that he sort of entered into the world. When he came into a manger in a stable in a quiet little town of Bethlehem, except for the travelers that are coming in because of the all the traveling and numbering and counting the census. Otherwise, it's just a quaint little town. He wasn't born in a big palace in Jerusalem. He came in humility. And that's what Jesus is doing here. But in a sense, he's coming in like a king. And he's got the crowds following him like a king. Enough that it stirs up people are wondering, who is this guy? Who is attracting all this kind of attention? Well, he's king. And Jesus came as king. It's just that Jesus came as a different kind of king. When Jesus first came, it says he came speaking about the kingdom of God, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He spoke often of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like a pearl of great price. It's like, and over, stories about what God's kingdom is like. Even on this last week in the life of Jesus, he's going to tell some stories. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet feast. The kingdom of heaven is like these 10 virgins and their oils and lamps. And every kingdom has a king. Jesus is king of this kingdom, but it's a different kind of kingdom. Jesus stood before Pilate in Matthew chapter 27. One of the accusations made about him was he was king of the Jews. That was the charge. They did it in jest, but he truly was. But he was more than just king of Jews. He was king, king of all. But he was a different kind of king because his kingdom was not one that was temporary in nature. It's eternal in nature. It's not one that's external, but it is internal. It is not one bound by geographical lines because it permeates and penetrates and infiltrates all other kingdoms. It's a kingdom that's made up of every tribe and nation and tongue. And so when Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" he says, "Yes, it is as you say. I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this world." Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a colt. The Bible tells us next time he comes riding in, book of Revelation, will be on a white horse. Now, whether this is figurative language, most likely he's coming in on a white horse ready to exact vengeance. It says on his thighs written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make no mistake, Jesus is king. But what kind of king is he? Well, he's the kind of king who loves his subjects enough that he will pay their penalties for them. And he will die for them. And this week, we'll celebrate and remember. And next week, we'll celebrate the resurrection. And if Jesus is king, I guess the question is he your king? And if he's your king, are you willing to serve him? Thirdly, who is this? He is teacher. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is that by many of the people, they thought of him as a teacher. And why is that? Because he taught. He was always teaching. He came teaching. At the very beginning, even when the crowds realized he could do some miracles, there was one time where he tells Peter, hey, let's kind of sneak out the back door. Let's go over to these towns and villages because that's why I came. I really came to teach and preach. Throughout the New Testament, we have many of the things that he taught. But this last week in the life of Jesus, we're going to see one of the things that he does a lot of is he teaches. If you were to go through and count all the chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will realize that one third of those chapters are all in the last week of the life of Jesus. And many of those are written in red. Those of you who are aware, you got red in your Bible, it's the words of Jesus. And in the book of Matthew, the last part of 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 is mostly all in red. It's because Jesus is teaching. Jesus is spending early part of the week teaching the crowds and teaching his disciples, even encountering questions and accusations from some of his opposers, and Jesus even teaches them too. Luke tells us at the end of 19, but also at the end of 21, he says, now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out, spend the night on the Mount of Olives, and all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Every day he'd go to the temple the first part of the week, and he would teach. And the people would come and they would listen. And Matthew records a lot of that. By the end of the week, if you go over to John, you'll see that the last part of chapter 13 and all of 14, 15, 16, it's all in red once again as Jesus is teaching his 12. Reminding them, here's what's about to take place. Here's what's important. Here's what you need to know. He was a teacher and teaching because that's what teachers do. And the best teachers are not the ones who always just speak the things that they want to get across, but they live it out. Because the very things that he taught them for 3 years, they're going to watch him that last week as he encounters the ridicule and the opposition, the unfairness, the injustice, and he's going to quietly go to the cross to bear our sin. And he's going to put into practice some of the things that he taught them. And, like a good teacher, he's going to feel what he even taught when he said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And he comes back. So much so, being that this teacher is that chapter 22 gives us the story of it. One of the lawyers in the crowd, he asked Jesus, teacher, what's the greatest command? Many of you can already answer that. Jesus goes to the Old Testament, goes to Deuteronomy and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Then he goes to Leviticus and he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On all of the commands that are out there, these two come to the top. All the others can be summed up by loving God with your whole self and loving others as yourself. We would do well to listen to the voice of the teacher. One of Jesus' famous sermons was the Sermon on the Mount. At the very end of that, Matthew chapter 7, at the end of it, he says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, I know right now some of you have got that song in your head, The wise man built his house. But yeah, I'm not singing anymore. And when the rains come and the floods come because of the rain, when difficulties in your life come and show up, oh, they will come. They always do. When they come, the house on the rock stood firm. The opposite was the ones who hear these words of mine and don't put them into practice. It's like their house is built on sand. And you know the outcome of that. If Jesus is teacher, then the question is, are we doing what he says? Are we putting into practice what he taught us? And then fourth, who is this? Jesus is Son of Man. Now this one's a little bit different. But when Jesus often spoke of himself, he would describe himself as being Son of Man. The Son of Man, when he will be betrayed by chief priests and the elders and handed over to them, and they will kill him. And on the third day, he'll rise again. Now, we often think of, when we're thinking of Jesus being Son, we're thinking, okay, Jesus is the Son of God. We may, like Peter, say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Many of you have made that confession. Maybe before your baptism you have said that, or in your heart you at least have said that, and you've agreed, yes, I realize that Jesus is the Son of God. You've also realized, and as we celebrated Christmas, as John says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Angel comes to Mary, and Holy Spirit comes on her, and so he is God and yet man. He is the man who is God, he is the God who is man. But Jesus, when he talks about it being Son of Man, is a little bit different when he's talking about this. I think it's partly that, but then he's got other things in mind that are a little bit bigger and deeper. If you read with me some, or you just listen along, in Matthew 24 and 25, excuse me, Jesus is going to say a few things in his teachings. And I'm going to read along Matthew 24, just starting in verse 30 and 31. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. They will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Verse 37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Verse 44, for this reason you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. A little bit later, to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire. When Jesus is talking about the Son of Man, there's some other connections. It has this idea of him coming back to exact justice and vengeance. This aspect of him being judge. They also were aware of, from Old Testament prophecies, that the one who would be Messiah would be Son of Man, going to all the way back to Daniel, some 600 years before. And in Daniel 7, 13 and 14, Daniel says, I kept looking on in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Jesus, making reference to the Son of Man, was this Son of Man who one day will come in the clouds of heaven. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, when the Son of Man comes again to take those in his kingdom home with him, to those on the right, the question is, are you ready? Jesus told stories that last week, reminding people to keep watch, to be ready, be prepared. The question for us is, are we ready? So Jesus is prophet, he's king, he's teacher, he's Son of Man. Are we listening to him? Are we serving him? Are we doing what he says? And are we ready for his return? These next few moments, I realize that for most of you, I am preaching to the choir. You have, like me, followed Jesus for a long time. Maybe some of you here, maybe it's rather new. Maybe for some, you've just been pondering about Jesus, or maybe you've just lived in and out of it, not taking it seriously. Maybe some of these questions specifically are for you, because how we answer this, who is this, does determine the fate of our eternal destiny. Maybe some of us need to ponder the questions, if he truly is prophet and speaking to us on behalf of God, are we listening to him? And if he is our king, are we serving him? And if he is teacher, are we doing what he says? And knowing that he could come back at any point, are we ready? These next few moments, I want you to just listen. I want you to ponder. I want you to think. I want you to pray. How would you answer those questions? Strong affirmation? Or maybe there's some of those areas in which you I don't know. In the next few moments, think about it. Here in a minute, you'll have the opportunity to come up and pray with one of our elders who'll be up here. If you want to just talk more about it, maybe set a time to talk later. I'll be up here. How do you answer these questions? Lord, I don't know how everybody in the room answers the question. And I pray for those that are here that maybe they're not sure how they're answering it. May you show yourselves real to them. recognizing that truly is the best way. In reality, the only way. Lord, some of us here, maybe we've just played for it for a while and we've not truly been listening to what you want to say to us. Or as teacher, not been putting into practice, doing the very things we know we ought, knowing what it says, but we just haven't really done it. We call you King and then serve ourselves and do what pleases us rather than what pleases you. Father, forgive us for those. And I pray for those who are not ready, who can't say, yeah, I'm ready for your return, and you'll help them to get right, to figure it out. Lord, I ask these prayers in the name of Jesus, our prophet and king and teacher, the Son of Man. Amen. Yeah. As I mentioned, in a moment, if one of you needs prayer or has some more questions, I'll be up here. Some elders will be up here for this. Now, this is what we call Palm Sunday. Next week, we call that Sunday what?
Easter.
Easter, or Resurrection Day, Easter. In between, we use the term often Holy Week. And there's a variety of things that are going to be going on here at Washington Avenue. Right out here in the, I never know what to call it. I want to call it like the, well, not in the label. I want to say a table out there. And I call it the, what do we call that? Information desk. But see, it's not even really a desk. Yeah. I say at 8 o'clock I was calling it the information table, and I'm like, well, it's not really a table. Da-da-da. Yeah. There's a sign up if for, you know, I'm gonna give you different ways. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is something going on every day here of those days. Monday and Wednesday are at lunch, 12:15 to 12:45 on both those days. Wednesdays, there's a lunch attached to it if you want that. If you want a free box lunch, then you'll need to sign up for it at the information desk, table, or whatever we want to call it. Yes. But Monday will be in the West Building. Tuesday and Thursday, it will be of an evening. And all of that is on this piece of paper that came on your bulletin. It will be in here at 6:30 that evening. And so join us if you can. We know that you can't make all of them, so make what you can. I hope you plan to join us on some of them, some that we'll be a part of. If you are new to Washington Avenue, maybe you've been coming for a little bit, we would love to get to know you. If we have not already met you, and if you've never visited our guest connection table, yeah, which is right around the corner here, we would love to get to know you. We got some stuff for you. One of the things that we say at Washington Avenue is we want to be people that are real, real people. We pray that when you come, you encounter people who are real. None of us are perfect. We're striving to follow the King, but we want to be a people who are real that minister to people who are real. So we strive to be real people who want to find and experience real grace. Not only as you come, we want to extend that grace to you, but we want to extend grace to each other. All together, looking for how we may be transformed and grow into looking like and being more like Jesus. So when we say real people, real grace, real growth, that's what we're talking about. And so may you continue to live that out as you walk out of here and go into the halls and go do whatever it is you do all week. Come join us some this week, and in whatever you do, show some grace to these real people out there and show you look like Jesus. Y'all have a good day. Mm. Mm.